today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
We get lots of listener feedback about costumed pop stars.
Yeah, you know, I see a guy from the Village People dropping off my mail every day. Patrick, it's Friday. We made it to Friday.
Yeah, we did. It feels good, Jim. And it's been too long since we checked our mailbox and checked in with our people, so we need to do that.
We've been busy.
Yeah.
And Sam, the intern's been kind of falling down on the job a little bit.
He's such a slacker.
Yeah. So we thought, that's not true at all. He does amazing work.
He's incredible.
And you're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And unlike most other podcasts that you listen to, we dedicate an episode every once in a while just to listener feedback,
yeah,
right?
That's it. That's all it is.
Again, Marc Maron doesn't do this.
No.
I don't think. Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla, I don't think he can be bothered.
No.
Ira Glass, does he? I mean, come
Hell
on.
Hell no. Come on. He's never going to do that.
He's not going to acknowledge that anybody else can tell a great story.
No.
You know, so. But we believe you can, and you do it over and over again. And so we call it Fan Mail Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just get, we have so much good stuff. Let's get right into it. So
even though
it's called Fan Mail, there are some calls. We like the calls.
Yeah.
You can call 612-440-1984. Just like Gerald Trzynski did.
Yep.
Hey, Suburbs Pod. How are things on this lovely Sunday morning? Sorry I missed your live event yesterday, but don't live in the D.C. area. Would have loved to have been down there. But the purpose of my call today, to recount the events of this week. Wednesday, waking up, going to work, listening to a SiriusXM live rock call-in show, and they were talking about great rock and roll beards. And I opened my Twitter to tweet in, Rob Baker, the Tragically Hip. I need to represent Canada. And as I opened my Twitter to find out, to tweet, sorry, I still can't, I found out that Gord Downie had passed away the night before. It was also the day I was planning the celebration of my daughter's 19th birthday. And I sent her a text, and she was bawling. At the same time, I sent my girlfriend a text to tell her that she was working from home that day. And the irony was she had just put on a Tragically Hip shirt when she had got the text. I know the hip weren't that big in America. Some people down there got it. There was an article in the New York Times comparing Gord Downie to Bruce Springsteen, Michael Stipe, and Bob Dylan all rolled into one. That article was this week after his passing. The flag on our parliament building was half-mast. The Peace Tower in Ottawa, our nation's capital, had Tragically Hip music playing in the background this week. Gord's funeral was Friday. The country's slowly coming back together. There was a documentary on the hip on national television Friday night, uninterrupted. It's going to be on Netflix in the U.S. in November. It was already had been scheduled for Netflix. It's about the band's last tour, their farewell tour and the final concert. But I'm still at a loss. I mean, Pearl Jam, the night of the last show last year, August 20th, they dedicated a song at the Wrigley Field concert to Tragically Hip. Gord's got a solo album coming out next week. It's the only recordings he did after he had been diagnosed with brain cancer, the hip album that came out last year, and a solo album that came out last year had already been recorded prior to his death. It's going to be a tough listen. The nation's reaching out. And, yeah, some final thoughts on the Tragically Hip, calling from Mississauga, Canada, Ontario, just outside of Toronto. Anyhow, I'll be brief. You know, America, you missed the great party with the hip while they were around. Our after party has a great soundtrack. So if you haven't discovered the Tragically Hip, you know, please take the time and give them a listen. There's a lot of great tunes. I can go on and on. The impact that they had on this country is huge. You know, our prime minister was even crying and made a speech about Gord. And anyhow, I don't know what to say right now. So I just wanted to say thanks for listening. And please give the Tragically Hip a chance if you haven't. They're a great band, and Gord will surely be missed.
Okay. I want to start us off on a downer here, but I thought that was important to play that call because we had not really talked much about Gord Downie's recent passing. I think we mentioned it, but I can't speak with the kind of knowledge that Gerald has there because, as he mentioned, Tragically Hip was not particularly big in the U.S. I listened to some of their stuff, but you know, they kind of were in the mix with a lot of other bands of the era.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a big deal in Canada, and they meant a lot to people there.
It was very much, I think, for us in America, a cult band, you know, that you might know one person who is really into them and yep. kind of understood, you know. Like Gerald said, there's a few people here who got it, but they were very much a Canadian phenomenon. There's an album that Gord made with the Sadies probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago that I love very much. And I got into them, you know, that record because of the Sadies, and had always heard the Tragically Hip a little bit here and there. But it's obvious from, you know, listening to Gerald talk, connection with his girlfriend and his daughter, and you know, it meant a lot. And I think in some ways, Jim, it was like Warren Zevon. You know, he was diagnosed and you knew it was going to come, but it was still a shock when it actually happened. But I don't think we could say anything better than what Gerald said.
So Gerald mentioned this final solo album
mm-hmm.
of Gord Downie's. It was just released
as we speak, like a few days ago.
Yeah, just a few days ago. Yeah. It's called Introduce Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently, what I'm reading here, 23 songs of quote-unquote farewell letters. So they're songs sort of like written to certain people, things like that. So really, you know, touching stuff.
Tough listen, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to play one here so people get a sense. This is the most popular one played on Spotify, so I'm just going to go with that. It's track 2, and it's called Wolf's Home.
Hey, kids, Wolf's Home. He drops into his easy chair, stares about blank, then bids his family come and gather round his chair, then clears his throat. No one knows quite what to expect, says man's a god.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. So thank you for the call, Gerald.
Yeah.
We appreciate it,
man.
And hope the listeners do too. All right. Kind of on a similar note, but stick with us. We'll get out of this
we'll
in a little
up.
Bit here. But this is another call here about a recent legend's passing, but it's a little bit of a joyous story here.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. This is Chris out in the Bay Area. Tom Petty moment, just a recent one. Went to a show Saturday at a small club in the Mission in San Francisco where Chuck Prophet does his annual after the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass shows. Does a couple nights there every year, it seems like. So they open, Stephanie and Chuck come out and do an acoustic duo of The Waiting, Tom Petty song. They started as a duo, that is, and then the band kicked it in after about halfway through. Really a nice opening moment. Did their normal show, great show, couple hours, encore, last song. Chuck throws the mics around to the crowd, all three of them, I believe, and they ripped into American Girl. The whole crowd of like probably, yeah, it was probably 300 people, now 200 people there, I guess, sing American Girl, and the night ended. It was awesome. Anyway, missing Tom already. Thanks.
Nice, man.
That's a cool story. I like the fact that great. They actually gave the microphones
yeah,
to the crowd.
You know this one.
Yeah.
You don't need any help.
That's great. And
Chuck, man, what a cool dude.
Yeah. And we talked to Chuck Prophet about
yeah, we did.
Tom Petty, and
yeah.
you can hear that episode, go back into to our archives and yeah. check that out, because he talks a little about that, and he specifically mentioned American Girl
yeah.
as just being an incredible song. So let me switch over here to an email we got
okay.
about Tom Petty, because it's kind of similar in a way, which is email here from Mike Albrecht from Grafton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And he says, truly appreciate the time you spent on Tom Petty a few weeks back. Thought I'd share a memory. Milwaukee, Wisconsin has an annual 10-day rock festival called Summerfest, where bands play nonstop throughout the day on 11 stages. It is really cool, Patrick. I've been to it.
Okay.
It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Tom Petty was a frequent headliner at this festival and even played back-to-back nights this past summer. Every time Tom Petty played was a huge deal for my group of friends who would come in from far away to see another Petty show. I was lucky enough to see him this July for one last awesome concert. My favorite memory from one of these Summerfest concerts was on a July 4th when Petty closed the show with American Girl. Later that evening on the shuttle bus to our cars, a bit inebriated perhaps.
Perhaps.
The entire bus spontaneously burst out into American Girl. 60 people drunkenly screaming, "Oh yeah, all right, take it easy, baby," at the top of their lungs. What was a festive, funny, and bonding moment back then brought tears to my eyes this past week. I could always count on our annual Tom Petty concert and his loyal fan base to be the highlight of my summer. I will miss the man, the band, the music, the annual concerts, his incredible graciousness, humility, and humor every time he stepped on stage. A true legend. Thanks for letting me share.
That's so wonderful.
Isn't that nice? He had many, many great songs, but American Girl is one of those songs that, you know, everybody knows, and it does have a sort of a communal aspect in that way, right?
Nothing like that spontaneity of breaking out into a song.
Love it.
People, you know.
All right. Okay. There is a series of emails and Facebook and comments and tweets we got about this one particular episode. This set off kind of a flurry of feedback.
I'm glad.
It was the Halloween episode about costume bands, right?
It's just like last week or something.
And it was funny because it was just this like spur of the moment idea that we had.
Yeah.
What are we going to do for
Halloween?
Oh, what about bands that dress up? That would be fun. So we kind of, you know, each came up with a few different ideas, but we knew it wasn't going to be comprehensive. We knew there were many that we were
kind of winging it.
Forgetting.
Yeah. We had stuff written on our arms.
Before I get to this one longer email, I just want to mention this was an email we got from Thomas Meyer.
Okay.
And the whole email is four letters. D-E-V-O.
I love that.
So no, we didn't talk about Devo, but they were certainly a band that dressed up, although they would dress up differently, right?
Yeah.
Over time. It wasn't like they had a set sort of costume that
they kept. No, exactly right. Yeah, depending on kind of the album they were on or what their theme was or some of their recent songs, they would slightly adjust it. And in their videos, they dressed differently too.
That's
like,
right.
Think of the Whip It video. They're
right.
Like weird cowboys.
The most recognizable look they had was those hats that were sort of...
Yeah, cone.
Kind of cone pyramid sort of thing, tiered red, you know. And I think somebody else mentioned Devo as well. Oh, yes. Here
Paul Trapp.
In Paul Trapp's email, he says, Paul Trapp from Omaha says that he loved the episode on bands in costume. I've had a soft spot for bands sporting a curated look ever since I saw Devo perform at a movie theater back when I was in high school. Perform at a
movie theater? We need to learn more about that.
But then he goes on and says, here's a trio of costume bands under the radar, which I've been enjoying live and on record. The first one he mentions is called Masked Intruder, which would make sense. Performing in color-coordinated ski masks, the foursome sing tales of unrequited love while being chased by the cops.
Wow.
Much fun and a bit Ramonesy.
That's high concept.
The second band is called Wet Secrets, from Canada and dressed like a high school marching band. And he says their hit is an earworm.
Okay.
And then the third one is called The Phenomenots. I had the good fortune of attending San Diego Comic-Con this past year and sought out some live music while in town. Appropriately, I ran into the Phenomenots at a dive bar. They're from Oakland. The band dresses like Star Trek castoffs and are armed with a toilet paper cannon. During a song about our solar system, they had the crowd chanting, "Earth is the best." I agree wholeheartedly. So there you go. So any of those three that maybe you would like to hear a little bit of?
I don't know. Do we know what Wet Secrets' hit is since we're talking Canada?
I think he provided a link here, and he says it's an earworm.
Yeah,
so that's probably the way we should go,
We
right?
like that stuff. I can swing a hammer with the best of them. I know I can. I can swing a hammer with the best of them. I know I can. I can swing a hammer with the best of them. I know I can. I can swing a hammer with the best of them. I know I can. I can swing a hammer with the best of them.
okay, if you don't know, the song is called I Can Swing a Hammer.
Yeah. By the Wet Secrets.
And I think part of the reason it might be an earworm is because it takes about 45, 50 seconds before they actually sing anything other than I Can Swing a Hammer.
But it was and a rollicking briefly, groove. Yeah, I liked it.
No, it is. I could see how... That's a fun song.
Yeah.
And you can see the picture here.
Definitely dressed in marching band outfits. Yeah. Right.
But yet, like, holding, like, a bass guitar and singing the microphone, just like a normal rock band would.
Very cool.
All right. That was good.
Should we talk about what Joe Fleischer wrote in here?
Sure. Jim? Let's do it.
Joe brings up something really interesting. Writing, Sweden's Ghost has been a lot of fun to follow. The singer, Papa Emeritus, dresses like an evil pope, and all of the band members, called Nameless Ghouls, dress in robes with masks that cover their entire face. While they look ominous, they sound almost exactly like late 70s Blue Oyster. And there's also apparently an elaborate backstory in what they do, Jim. Basically replacing or rumored to replacing Papa Emeritus for each album, calling their concerts rituals. Apparently they went through an anonymous period. And Joe says, I've seen them twice and Papa is one of the most charismatic frontmen I've ever seen. Yes, but which one? I also like the music and still like Blue Oyster Cult as well.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Ghost. This song is called He Is.
We're standing here by the abyss and the world is in flames. Two star-crossed lovers reaching out to the beast with many names. He is, he's the shining in the light without whom I cannot see. And he is insurrection, he's spite, he's the force that made me be. He is nostro disparte, nostra amate. He is.
All right. You can't see the video I'm seeing on my computer. You could probably see me laughing a little bit at this, but they're dressed. They have like face paint on to make their faces look like skulls,
mm-hmm.
and then they're wearing these outfits that are sort of Liberace like, and then singing this kind of style of music. But then also at one point, one of the guys was like holding a baby, and then you see a woman sort of, you know, in slow motion blowing like a dandelion
nice.
Into the air, you know, so it's that kind of a vibe to it. Did it remind you of Blue Oyster Cult?
A little bit. Yeah, I could kind of see that. Although, you know, there may be other stuff that Joe's talking about.
Okay, Patrick. So we got a email here or a Facebook comment from Kevin Clement.
Okay.
And it's about your favorite, Gwar.
Yeah, Gwar.
It says, I was dragged to a Gwar concert at
Tipitina's, yeah.
In New Orleans, somewhere around 1992 or 1993. It was horrible, says Kevin. I went home with red and white liquids splashed all over me. You mentioned something about the red liquid.
There's liquids being squirted.
One band that I enjoy that dresses crazy is Parliament. How did we forget about Parliament?
Yeah, totally. Funkadelic, the mothership, man.
Yeah, they are very theatric in their shows with the mothership and crazy outfits. I've seen them a few times, and it is a party every time.
Yeah.
One of my favorite local bands is an 80s cover band called the Molly Ringwalds.
The record.
Oh, the record.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too...
too hip, maybe?
Yeah, a little too hip.
Well...
Think you can recommend something else, a little less political or something?
Lionel Richie?
Yeah.
Tina Marie? Madonna?
Madonna?
Yeah,
it's awfully deep.
Yeah, very deep. But she's got such great style.
As you can see from the pic, they really get into it with great costumes that fit the decade. Yeah, so they're all dressed in sort of like, you know, each one in different sort of like 80s icon.
Got it.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that really counts, though, if they're like a cover band doing, you
like
know,
Warmers, like
theatrics. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But still, Parliament, that's spot on. Yep. That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's a great shout.
And then also speaking of Gwar, Dan Gursky says, I'm surprised that Patrick didn't mention Gwar Bar in Richmond. Since you are a Richmond regular and they are from there, I've heard about it for years but never been. Maybe a field trip? And then he has a link here to Guar Bar. So that's a real thing? You know about this?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I've never been there, but they do have a bar. I'm looking at their website. One of the taglines is, pledge your soul and stomach to your lords and masters. So food must be great.
Do they serve red liquid?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. And then just a couple last ones here. Do you know this band? BJ Bonin says, Yum Yum. Play their shows wearing bunny costumes.
I don't know.
I wish I could find a live video of them. Yeah. And he does include a video here, but you don't know Yum Yum?
No, I do not. I
wonder what their music is like.
She goes down to the apiary and brings me honey from the trees. Bumble, bumble, queen of love, she brings us.
I like that song.
Yeah, it was kind of trippy, you know?
I had that kind of, you know, quiet, loud, quiet thing going. That was good.
Little My Bloody Valentine was happening there. It was cool.
So, who sent us that one?
That was BJ.
Oh, yeah, BJ. If you know any more about Yum Yum, tell us more about their stuff. And they perform in bunny costumes. So
I would like to see that.
That's good. And then the last one we got here, oh, man. Please
good luck,
forgive me if I don't pronounce this correctly. Vasant Ramamurthy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Vasant Ramamurthy. Two bands that come to mind. This one I know is one of your favorites.
Oh,
the
yeah?
Monks.
The Monks, yeah. They had the tonsures and they wore the Monks costumes. Yeah. And they were just like insane proto-punks of all time.
From the 1960s, yeah. Right? He says here, 1960s garage band, right. Who performed dressed as monks.
They did, and they tore it up.
And Clinic, British band who performed in surgical scrubs and masks. I don't know Clinic.
I remember them. Yeah, they had kind of an album. I want to say early 2000s, maybe.
I see their picture here on Spotify. Yeah. Ooh, they look really creepy.
They were dressed to operate.
But it's not just the surgical mask. There apparently is like another mask they wear, like a facial mask that they wear underneath it to make them look kind of creepy.
Yeah. Although that song, Walking With Thee, whatever album that is on, I like that one.
They're also playing air hockey in this photo. So just so you know. Okay, well.
Cool band.
We'll listen to Walking With Thee on the playout. So.
Passant.
These were great. I really like this stuff.
Fantastic
takes
stuff
you
from
into
our listeners.
Another world of rock and roll that you didn't know existed in some cases here.
Glad people got into that one.
Yeah.
And thanks for all the mail.
Any more fan mail or feedback that you want to send our way, we will take it. You can call us on the Suburban Party Line, as you heard other people have done, mm-hmm. And then we play your voice on the show. We like to do that. The number is 612-440-1984. You can email us, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Suburbs Pod. So any of those ways, do that. We'd like to get your feedback as much as possible on these Fan Mail Friday shows.
Absolutely.
You can, of course, listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
On Apple Podcasts or Audioboom or other podcast platforms. You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com. You can listen there or read other stuffs. I think that's about it. So you said we're going to play out with Clinic, Walking With Thee.
Yeah, that's appropriately masked.
Enjoy your weekend, Patrick.
You too, Jim.
All right. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, there's liquids being squirted. I don't know if I like that.